Sports Beat Extra. Earlier this week, I made the trip up to Carrignogue Racing in Kilkenny. Everyone who isn't living under a rock will know that Cheltenham is fast approaching. With so many amazing Southeast trainers and jockeys heading over to the festival, I had the opportunity to catch up with Joseph O'Brien, who most importantly will have his horse Banbridge running in the Gold Cup. I had the chance to chat with O'Brien about all things from the transition from jockey to trainer, what makes Cheltenham so special, and how he's feeling ahead of the Gold Cup.
Sports Beat Extra.
Firstly, thanks a million, Joseph, for meeting with us. When did it start being Joey and start becoming Joseph?
I suppose that was a little thing when I was riding, more so when I was younger. But before and since then, it's always been Joseph. And that's the name that's on the license. So that's what people generally refer to me as. But I've been called an awful lot worse, I'm sure, along the way.
You're obviously showing us a bit here today. Obviously, there's major preparations going on. Would this be typical sort of preparations-wise for you, even if it was a flats race as opposed to the big one like Cheltenham, or is it a bit more ramped up this week because of, obviously, the four-day festival coming up?
Yeah, I suppose this is typical enough. Right through the summer, spring and summer, I suppose we're always building up towards another festival. At the moment, obviously, it's Cheltenham, and insofar as National Hunt Racing, There's nothing bigger than Cheltenham. It's the most fantastic week of racing. The best horses all take each other on at their own discipline, right through each day. And for us, there's nothing quite like the Cheltenham Festival, and we're really looking forward to it this year.
Obviously, you're a bit into your training career now. What's it like for you switching over from being a jockey to being a trainer? I presume it's a lot more relaxed diet in times like this, but how do you enjoy it, I suppose, overall, the transition?
Yeah, put on plenty of weight, as you can see, but it's a very different lifestyle, but I really enjoy it, and this was always my end game, or I suppose I always wanted to train horses eventually, and we've been lucky that we have the support of some great owners, both in Ireland and further afield, and really, we can't bring our horses to compete at those festivals without having the support of our owners, and we're very lucky to be based here in a beautiful part of the country with some great staff, a great team of people, and that's really what allows us to live the dream and be able to compete at places like Cheltenham.
I suppose it's a massive family tradition for you as well. You know, you're the eldest of four. I believe both your sisters work here as well, don't they? And then your brother, I believe, is working in a different area as well, but also in the horse racing industry. Is there any other conversations with you guys at the dinner table that doesn't revolve around horse racing?
Yeah, no, I suppose we're very lucky that all of our my family is fully immersed in the industry. My sister Sarah is a practicing vet, and Anna manages a stud farm here, and Dunica, my brother, trains in over in Longfield outside Cashel. So, and obviously originally my grandfather Joe Crowley trained here, and as well as mum and her sisters would have all been here for a long period of time. So this is a special place, and we're very lucky that we're able to call our hobby and our passion also an industry that gives us our lifestyle.
You know, obviously growing up around that, it kind of seems like there was never going to be any other option for you other than going into horse racing. Was the Breeders' Cup for you in 2011, was that kind of the one that set you off on the path you are now?
Yeah, probably in a way it was. I never considered working in anything outside of horse racing. As I mentioned, we were fully immersed in horse racing growing up, and feel very lucky to have had the upbringing that we did in the industry that we're in, and it's kind of everything in our life always kind of revolves around the horses.
Looking ahead to Cheltenham, obviously, we were speaking before, even just the Gold Cup card, there's so many trainers, obviously, from all around the world, but mainly situated in the southeast. I mean, you've got Willie Mullins, Emmett Mullins, Henry de Bromhead, you've even got, you know, I suppose, Shark Hanlon as well, alongside that. You know, I suppose the one closest in age to you would be Emmett Mullins. Do you have much conversation with him, or is there a bit of sort of friendly rivalry there, obviously, being of a similar age?
Yeah, I suppose, I know Emmett and all of the Mullins family very well. A lot of us would have grew up similar ages, we'd know each other, since we were kids. But I suppose because we compete in races day in, day out, and the rivalry doesn't really ramp up or ramp down for festivals. That's just life, and we've all been competing since we were kids. But in racing, you know, because you lose a lot more often than you win, everybody learns to lose well and to win well as well. So nothing really changes coming up to the big festivals. Everybody does their best and tries to win as many races as we can.
The Gold Cup won't be an easy one either as well. Obviously, Galopin d'Auchamp will be playing. I think a lot of people are already putting him down as one of the all-time great horses. For you, is that a... How do you look at going into that? Because obviously, Bambridge had that great win at Punchestown in 2024. Is it a case that you're thinking like, well, actually, you know, this horse here could easily challenge that and probably should be favoured in a lot of people's eyes?
Yeah, well, I think Galopin d'Auchamp is undoubtedly, you know, the best staying chaser that we've seen for quite a few years, and he's an outstanding horse, and Banbridge is a life contender, I suppose, for the Gold Cup. He's unexposed at the distance, and if he gets the distance, and if the forecast is right and there's a dry time between now and then, which it looks like there will be, that definitely puts him into the reckoning. But we're very much the contender, and Galopin d'Auchamp, is the champion who sets the standard for everyone, and anyone that's going to beat him, we have to rise to his level. And he's a special horse, but it's very special for us and for everyone here, and Ronnie Bartlett, for who owns Banbridge, to be going to the race, you know, like the Gold Cup, with a real life chance of being in the mix. So that's really special, and we're looking forward to enjoying that process.
Horse racing is definitely one of the sports that's no stranger to shock victories or shock wins and whatnot, but you look at sort of the case of even in Navan there last week with Fabiola coming in second. Is that something that you were looking at thinking, oh, you know, maybe the rocks are starting to shake a little bit over in the Mullins camp, maybe we might get in here now?
Yeah, to be honest, you know, every day favourites get beaten and favourites win, and every race is a different race, and particularly at somewhere like Cheltenham, where every race is so competitive, all you can really do is concentrate on your own horse's preparation and concentrate on your own tactics, and then whatever happens on the track you have to accept. So but undoubtedly, you know, there's a long list of favourites at Cheltenham, and more of them are going to get beaten than are going to win. So we'll try and get on the scoreboard, but we really just concentrate on our own horses and our own preparation.
One thing I noticed, I was watching a video obviously that I'd been doing previously with you, is that on the tracks here, the horses go against the incline, which would be the complete opposite to the races. How does, this might sound silly, but how does that in turn affect the horses going into a race? Like, does that mean that they'll end up being faster than what you would have projected, or how does that work?
Yeah, I suppose our horses train up the hill here every day. Our gallop climbs up a steep hill, and it actually works for us, because, you know, obviously Cheltenham is a stiff finish and Galway is a stiff finish, and a lot of tracks have a stiff uphill finish, and our horses are conditioned for doing that every day. So in a way, it works in our favour a lot of times. But certainly, you know, this is a fantastic facility to train horses, and horses really thrive here. So I think it's an advantage to us heading into what's now Cheltenham.
For you, obviously, going from a jockey to a trainer, is there a race that you loved as a jockey that maybe you actually, when you come to a trainer, you're like, actually, I prefer this race a bit more? Like, how does that sort of switch over? Because it's two completely different roles, so you're kind of operating in different spheres. Is there different favourites for different professions, do you think?
I guess, you know, really and truly, it's all about the Grade One races. And the Grade One races are the races that everybody dreams of competing in and winning. And, you know, whether it was as a jockey or you know, now as a trainer, competing in Group 1 and Grade 1 races is what we try to do. And winning races at that level is really what we dream of.
What makes, I suppose, that this unofficial Big Three so exciting for people? Obviously, Cheltenham, Leopardstown, and then the Dublin races. What makes it, for you, I suppose, those big occasions for people? And why do you think so many people get behind it and go out and watch?
I suppose, you know, the allure of the big festivals is really where you see the best horses from each discipline coming against each other and racing against each other. Up until the festivals, you know, they can generally pick their prep runs, and they might have, you know, if the top three in the betting were heading towards the same race at Cheltenham, they might have had different prep races. So it's when you see those three horses competing against each other in the same race. That is really what Cheltenham and what those big festivals are about. And it's no different this year. There's some fantastic clashes at all the different disciplines next week. And that's what makes Cheltenham and the likes of Cheltenham special.
I suppose finally then, what's the big thing that's changed for you since obviously starting as a trainer? Like over the last few years, what's the biggest learning lesson you've taken away from all the experience?
I suppose you know the there's always learnings and there's you're always learning every week that goes by, but in this game you know you have to learn how to win and to lose and when you lose to learn and put that into practice then for the next race and try to change the result or whether it's training a horse's routine or a different distance or a different going. I think just accepting the result, good or bad, and then moving forward with what you've learned is something that we really focus on.
Joseph O'Brien, thank you so much.
Thanks a million.